Coming up, I'm going to teach you how to win arguments at work. And then, is Elon promoting unhealthy work? And a major student loan company laying people off. I'll break that down. And of course, I'm going to coach you up. Let's go. All right, welcome to the Ken Coleman Show, where we help you get the competitive edge to win at work and in life. What does it look like? What are the results of that? The results are, well, you are going to make more money and make a greater impact. Thrilled that you are with us. 844-747-2577, the number if you want to jump in later. Let's talk about how to win arguments at work. Some of you are going, what? Well, I'm having a little bit of fun with you. We're not talking about the nasty kind of argument. We're talking about when you have to have those confrontations, altercations that are of a professional nature, meaning there's no fighting and insults going on. We're talking about, hey, we've got a legitimate disagreement. We're trying to figure out the best way to market this campaign, right? We're trying to figure out the best way to innovate this product. Whatever it is, you're going to have those confrontations and altercations of a professional nature. And so, hey, you know, this whole idea about giving you the competitive edge today is, we're talking about a big time competitive edge and a big time hack. I'm giving you the secret sauce, how to win the room, if you will. And it has nothing to do with being ugly, nasty, or more powerful than everybody else. It's about being winsome. Fun word, by the way, Alex, we don't use enough. You know, like, I said this to my boys the other day. I've got 16, 14-year-olds. I said, you know, guys, more than anything in life, it's not going to be your grades. It's not going to be your skill set. It's going to be about being winsome. And they both looked at me like, winsome? Okay, Dad, what's up, big word? I mean, you know, it's immediately what I get. And, Alex, I keep walking into this criticism because I keep forgetting I'm talking to teenage boys. But anyway, winsome. It's a fabulous word. Look it up. Try to be it. That's a little like extra bonus teaching. So how do we win arguments at work? Well, first we need to understand what's happening. You aren't the only person in the room with an opinion, right? So you come in, some preconceived experiences, preconceived ideas, and so you're dug in. Let's think of this as I'm dug in, you're dug in. We all have our positions before the meeting even starts. So it's almost as though we have to acknowledge that when we go into a meeting, there's going to be at least one other person in the room who has a fairly strong opinion, and they may be open-minded to it, but they still have a strong opinion. They have a preconceived thought or experience that's going to make them at a natural impasse with you. So we start the meeting at an impasse. And by the way, this isn't always true, but this is good strategy. Because if you go into a meeting and feel like, all right, I'm starting off at a stalemate, to use a, you know, kind of an old term as well, or we're at an impasse, we're just not seeing eye to eye, it's a wonderful thing, actually, because then you can go, it's incumbent upon me, it is required of me that I do a good job casting vision for my ideas, that I am prepared for conscious objections. If I go into a meeting with this mindset, that means I'm much more prepared as opposed to from the hip, and it gets into this, we're shooting back and forth at each other and there's no progress made. It's not an actual war. It's not an actual battle, but we got to be prepared for this. So what's the takeaway about the whole goal? I used the word winsome earlier. Let's come back to that. The goal of the meeting, the goal of you winning an argument, is to actually win the other people over. So it's actually not my case has got to be so dominant that everybody feels like it's scorched earth and it's pretty obvious, you know, that it's like a game of paintball. I'm the only one left standing. Everybody else has been shot with my paintball gun. Woohoo, I'm the winner. It's not the goal. The goal is to win the argument by winning people's hearts and minds to what you're believing to be true. By the way, if you're in sales, this is the whole idea here too. You win the person's heart, you win the person's mind, and you win the argument, you win the meeting. So, the key to this is not making better points, better statements. surprisingly, when I share this with people who've never heard this before, the light bulb goes off. But surprisingly, the way to win the argument. By the way, this let me just quick commercial. I've been married 24 years. Hey, dudes, let me speak directly to the dudes out there. If you're going to win any argument with your wife, this strategy I'm about ready to reveal is your only shot. And I'm not kidding. Because men and women, they think differently, speak differently, act differently. And this is good in relationships as well. Here it is. You ready? Ask questions. The key to winning arguments, the key to winning the meeting, the key to winning people's hearts and minds to your point of view is not the better statement. It is the better question. It is the better question. Let me explain the psychology behind this, and then I'm going to give you three sample questions that will help you really get some practical know-how on how I can now do this in a meeting. So here's the psychology. If I look at you, whether the conversation is about sports, politics, vacation plans, work items, whatever the conversation is, where there is yet to be consensus and full agreement, if I come to the table, no matter the topic or the environment, and I make a strong declarative statement, no matter how well thought out it is, no matter how well worded it is, no matter how true it is, watch, folks, if I make statements and I lead with statements, it automatically puts the other people in the room or the person of which I am debating or having a conversation with, if I make a statement, it immediately puts them in a defensive posture where instead of receiving what you say, they don't receive what you say, they respond, they hit the ball back across the net, if you will, out of instinct because you just threw something at them. And so what's the reaction? Throw it back, right? You hit the ball at somebody in a tennis match, they go, I'm going to hit the ball back. That's a declarative statement. They haven't even thought about receiving it because they came to the meeting with their own ideas and they're trying to figure out what's going on. You're coming and going, this is how we do it. This is the best way. This is what needs to happen. And they're like, whoa, hold on a second. But when I ask a question, I now am handing them something to consider. It's like handing them a gift. They're going to open it up. They're going to look at it. They're going to ooh the awe. They're going to make some assumptions. So asking questions is the best way to bring somebody along because now they get to weigh in with their answer to how you frame the question. Let me give you three quick examples. You start to see somebody bristling, somebody not with you. You can tell they're not on your wavelength and on the same page, not agreeing, ask them this question. What are you feeling about what I'm asking? Here's another one. Once they answer that, go, what makes you feel that way? See, it's all about them. They're telling you. And then, well, have you thought about it this way? That's going to allow you to understand their point of view and make better questions and better points. Coaching you up so that you have the competitive edge to make more money and make more impact in your work life. I want you to have some juice on Monday mornings. And even on those hard, long days, I want you to be exhilarated, not mentally and emotionally exhausted. Speaking of that, some of you need to be in the right place. That's the company, the culture. Doing the right work, that's the job, the seat on the bus, in order to experience what I'm talking about. And the way to do that, for many of you who are, quite frankly, you're watching all these people change jobs, you're going, I don't know if I want to go through all that crap. You know, it's lonely out there. You're submitting resumes online, you never talk to person, and all you hear is, it's my favorite sound effect of all time. It's all you hear is crickets. And what happens? You start to get discouraged, and then you get detached from the whole process and you stay in a job you should stay in. That's why I endorse ZipRecruiter. Their artificial intelligence does so much work for you because companies are paying them for access to talent like you. So you fill out a profile, they start pitching you on your behalf. And because ZipRecruiter is pitching you to companies who pay them for access to you, your resume is going to stand out a whole lot more. So ZipRecruiter.com, it's free to you, doesn't cost you anything. They're going to be pitching you, recruiting you with one click. You can apply to any job they send to you while you live your life. ZipRecruiter.com, I don't know why you wouldn't do that. Go, it is free. All right, couple of stories to get to in the news. All right. A lot of hubbub out there about Elon Musk these days. This guy either knows what he's doing or just doesn't care. And so he's just knocking. He's like a bull in a china shop. The guy's in the news every day. I got no problem with him being in the news, but he's in the news every day. So the latest salvo that he fires off on Twitter, and he's, by the way, you know, how much of this is him just trying to get out of the deal with Twitter? So the recent thing is he fires a comment out, makes a statement about Tesla executives' return to the office. And, you know, he made some pretty, you know, I thought it was pretty funny the way he said it because he just doesn't care. I find people that don't care to be terribly amusing. I just do. Art Linkletter, the old TV legend, once said that his two favorite types of people to interview were young people and old people. Young people because they don't know what they're saying, and old people because they don't care. You know, you get to that certain point in your life and you just don't care. You're like, I've been here, done this. And this guy's a billionaire and he just doesn't care. He's going to say whatever he thinks. He doesn't care what you think. Well, he comes out and he says, look, if you want to fake working full time, do it somewhere else. Well, that got him in hot water, right? And he said, everybody at Tesla's got to come back. And in a statement he made, he said, anyone who wishes to do remote work must be in the office for a minimum of 40 hours per week or leave Tesla. So he's basically going, we're not giving you remote work. You got to be in the office a minimum of 40 hours. So you got a lot of people that were like, this is promoting overwork based on what he said. Again, folks, I'm not going to weigh into what I think Elon Musk thinks. It's irresponsible and I'm not arrogant enough to do that. I'm just going to tell you what he said. The office for a minimum of 40 hours a week. That's not promoting overwork. What he's saying is you got to be in for 40 hours a week. It's like the old days when they punched a clock. Well, see, that hurts people's feelings now. In 2022, snowflakes and very sensitive people can get their feelings hurt at just anything. So, this is from Forbes.com. The writer of this article is very upset. She was very offended. She says, employees today don't want just flexibility about where they work. They want flexibility around when and the trust of their managers to be assessed on the output of the job they do, even if it takes less time. Again, now I have no problem with that. But saying that this memo promotes overwork is I think that's ridiculous. I do take issue with Ms. McGregor's assertion here. Or maybe she didn't write the headline. We know editors get a hold of these headlines and they want to make you click on it. I don't think he's promoting overwork. But let's just look at where we sit today. Because I do agree with the author that there's a huge demand for flexibility, not just about in the office, but the amount of time people work. Because listen, people aren't stupid. They're not stupid. They realize that with technology, and if the pandemic proved anything, it did prove that you could be productive outside of the office, and it did prove that you could get your work done in less than 40 hours. I reported on this show probably a year ago that during the height of the pandemic, there were people that were working two full-time jobs remotely because the two companies didn't know about each other. Now, I'm just going to tell you, the data bore it out, but I knew when I read the headline that those weren't people working two 40-hour jobs, working 80 hours a week. They weren't. So let's just be clear. I don't have my head in the sand. I get that. An April report from Future Forum, which is a research consortium, they did this work for Slack. And the research found that 79% of people say they want location flexibility. Now, let's, again, location flexibility is, hey, I'll work in the office some, but if I want to go work at the coffee shop or Barnes & Noble or wherever, and that's been happening for some time. So this is not some big deal. Now, this is interesting. 94% of people say they want to choose the hours they work. That is significant. I've been telling you that the four-day work week is gaining steam. I talked about it early this week, that the largest study ever on a four-day work week, a six-month study, is being initiated right now in the UK. I'm telling you, 94% of people saying, I want to choose the hours I work, meaning I just want to be measured on my output. I don't know how I feel about that, so I'm actually going to hold judgment because I do believe in culture and I do believe in collaboration and energy that is just existent when people are in proximity to each other. Well, that can't be denied. So very interesting. All right, next story. And before I go on, leaders, I want to just do a quick call out to you. That data of 94% of people saying they want to choose the hours they work, that's not going anywhere. And like it or not, leaders, you're going to have to confront this. And the reality is, going into this conversation with your workforce and new people that might be joining you, here's what you're going to have to realize. And you know this, but you're going to have to realize it, which means put it into context of what you're going to be dealing with. The American worker, the worldwide worker, they're not stupid. They know that they can work smarter and faster than they ever have before. They want to work better, smarter, faster. So they don't get the whole 40 hours a week. It's like, what does it take to get the job done and deliver results? And I think it's a fair question. All right, next story. A leaked email shows that a major student loan company just laid off employees as the Biden decision on debt forgiveness looms. This is from Yahoo.com. So a leaked internal email at a student loan company by the name of Nelnet, detailed layoffs. They're reporting that this is the result of the pause on student loan payments. There's no question about that. Their servicing teams have experienced extremely low call volume and limited work available. Now, more than 2 years later, it's a direct quote from Ben Kaiser, a Nelnet spokesperson. From the initial pause on student loan payments in the pandemic, the most recent extension is now through August 31st. And there's no certainty as to whether or not the relief will be further extended. We have excess capacity in our loan servicing teams, meaning people sitting around with nothing to do. Nelnet's director of government relations told their annual shareholders meeting that the probability is pretty high that Biden will cancel $10,000 in student loans for every federal borrower. Can I just tell you, folks, I would not count on that. I don't think that's inevitable. But we'll see. Nelnet's chief financial officer said that wiping out that amount will reduce the company's future cash flow from $1.8 billion to $1.2 billion. Let me tell you what else is going on, though. I've been reporting on this show how college enrollment is down big time, which means student loans are down big time. I say, I'm sorry for those that got laid off, but this is great news for the student loan crisis. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, where we coach men and women up so that they're winning in work, so that their life is better. Now you think about how much time you spend at work in your life, and if it's just okay, that part of your life, a huge part of your life, is okay. If it sucks, a huge part of your life sucks. But then the fun part, if you're fulfilled and you're crushing it, making progress in your work life, think about how much of your life you're crushing it. It matters. And I'm your coach, 844-747-2577. Micah Harmon is watching live on YouTube and is in the chat room and said, the proximity principle really works. I had a professor deliver my resume to a company that he had a connection with. I had a second interview yesterday and got a verbal offer, waiting for the letter. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I mean, it works. It works. It's right there on the shelf behind me. Wrote an entire book. The five people, the five places that if you're around these people in these places, opportunities show up to you and go, knock on the door. And I love this testimony. Not because he's complimenting the concept or the book. I want you to catch what he said. He had a professor hand deliver his resume. People ask me all the time, Ken, I'm filling out resumes, man. I'm submitting none, I'm not hearing anything. Yeah, because you're getting ignored. This dude had his professor hand deliver a resume to a connection in the company. And after two interviews, he got a verbal offer. Folks, I'm telling you, you want to beat the competition. Young people trying to get a job coming out of college. Old school still works. You know why old school works? Not because I'm old school and because I'm middle-aged. Old school works because old school is about relationships and people to people, knee to knee, elbow to elbow, eyeball to eyeball. You think about how many resumes get submitted in the course of a day. In fact, while I've been ranting, 8 billion resumes have been submitted while I was ranting. Click, click, and then people sit back and light up a cig and they're very comfortable with themselves. I've just submitted 20 resumes. I'm just going to sit back and wait for my ship to come in. That doesn't work. Connections. Now you think about how this worked for this guy. Mike, I'm so proud of you. Professor takes his resume in. A little verb. Professor takes the resume in. He's got a connection. His old buddy Herb. They used to play golf together, still play golf together, whatever. There's a real relationship there between Micah's professor and whoever the person was at the company. A real relationship. In other words, credibility. And the professor goes, hey, I'm sure he did this. And he goes, let me tell you about Micah. Micah's a great student. Micah's a great guy. Micah's got this talent, a great character. I think you ought to interview Micah. I think he'd be a great fit. Now you tell me what has the greatest chance of getting you the gig. That approach, old school, or playing the resume lottery while you smoke your cig. Oh, I hear you, boomer. Whatever. I'm not a boomer. I'm a Gen Xer. You snowflake, you. Why don't you get out there and put yourself out there? It actually works. All right, there it is. There's my little rant for today. Ken is up in Cleveland, Ohio. Ken, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, how are you doing today?
Well, I'm pretty fired up, Ken, so you got me pretty razzed, which is usually good news for you. What's up?
Yes, I was just calling. I've been in the same job for, I'd say, 3+ years, and it's a good job. I just feel that there's potential that the pay could be better. Mm-hmm. I'm not necessarily looking to quit my job, but what I want to do is be able to look out there, see if there's other job possibilities that are similar to mine, that maybe do have better pay. But I also know that there is a risk if you start going on to, ZipRecruiter or other places like that, because I know a lot of times your own employer will have their people that are looking, and if they find your information out there, then they may think that, you know, you're getting ready to quit or whatever. So what is the best way to do that? Like, I'm not looking, like, I'm not wanting to quit my job and leave tomorrow. Just if there's something that is a better opportunity doing the same thing that I'm doing, I may be interested, but I don't, you know.
When was the last time you had a compensation conversation with your leader?
Just recently, but so I've been there 3.5 years, and it wasn't until I brought up the conversation, they didn't bring it up with me.
Okay. And so what was
about a change in compensation?
Yeah. And so what was the general reaction after you did bring it up? Are they going to create a plan that they can come back to you and go, based on performance and these results and here's how we'll measure them, then we would potentially give you this bump? I mean, was there any kind of detailed response or at least a sense that they might respond to it?
Well, so they did respond, and that there was a change in my pay, but I felt it was kind of more like to,
what kind of bump did you get?
Like, so it was about, I'm in sales, and so my bump was based on like percentage of pay based on like my commission based on sales.
Yeah,
so it wasn't so, like a set dollar amount.
So now this is a very interesting situation here. Because sales guys with bigger commission chunks ought to be pretty freaking happy. Because you are the one who determines your pay increase. Am I right? The answer
correct,
is the answer
but,
is I am right. It was rhetorical.
Yes.
So what's the challenge here? You not excited about the product or the service that you sell? Is it limited in ability to actually, are you somehow limited outside of your control and your ability to sell and thus make more money?
No. So basically what happened is when I first got hired, I didn't really, it was the first like sales commission job that I had. So I didn't really understand like the ins and outs of sales commission, what is a good commission percentage and stuff like that. So I just kind of took the first offer that they gave me because I was new. Now that I'm understanding, or at least think I'm understanding, you know, how your pay should relate to your sales commission, I'm trying to get to what I think is a better percentage of sales on the commission.
Okay. Do you have do you have any market-based research on this that would prove to you and to me that your company's paying a lower commission percentage than other competitors in the same field, same type of work?
Yeah, I've done some research talking to other people that I know that are in sales.
You can make greater commission working for somebody else doing a very similar job because we know you like it and you don't want to quit it. We just would like to see a better compensation, and you can see that out there, and you can see that it's tied to the work you enjoy. Yes or no?
Yes.
All right, then start looking.
How do you do that without like being discovered by the company that you work for?
Well, first of all, I don't know that those guys are out there, you know, perusing ZipRecruiter. If they are and they see it, you can go, hey, I'm putting myself out there. I've done the research. Okay. I'm not mad at you guys. I mean, let's just say that they find it and they come to you. First of all, we're in an economy and a job economy right now where companies, it takes a lot to get fired these days. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, if they fire you, they've got a hole to fill, true or false?
True.
Well, then I wouldn't worry about it. But if they find out, your response is simple. Guys, I appreciate what you offered me. I've done my own research. I found in 3 or 4 different places where I can make a higher commission. And so that's what I'm looking for, guys. I got to win. I understand you're limited in where you are, and I get it. So you have an adult conversation with them. You don't, like, you have the right to look other places. This is the kind of question, by the way, that we get a lot. And this is one of the reasons why I'm so excited about we're launching a pilot program called Ramsey Career Coaching. We have some world-class women and men who are very experienced. They are well-trained. They have the heart of a coach. They care deeply about you folks. And they can help you on an ongoing basis where I cannot. And I highly endorse all these folks. I've talked to them. They're amazing people. The space is limited to 30 participants. We've already got people signing up. So if you're interested to learn more about ongoing coaching, go to kencoleman.com/coaching. That's kencoleman.com/coaching. Until tomorrow, you matter. You have what it takes. Press on.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.
If you enjoy this podcast, you should check out other great podcasts from the Ramsey Network, like The Dr. John Deloney Show.
Mental health challenges and hurting relationships happen to everyone, but they don't have to define you. I'm Dr. John Deloney, and I help people navigate through the messy things in their lives on the Dr. John Deloney Show. I'll walk alongside you as you face parenting, marriage, and other relationship challenges, and I'll walk alongside you as you try to connect with people, as you face depression, overcome anxiety, and learn how to change your life. Listen, I want you to be well. Listen to the Dr. John Deloney Show wherever you listen to podcasts.